Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Hello, my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going? Doing well.
Man, good to have you on the show as always, man.
Likewise, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. You know it. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad you guys was able to, you know, pop in. For this episode, Sports Urban Legend, if you guys want to share your thoughts on any of these following topics and more, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. And on today's show, you know, we're going to talk about the shocking news about Kobe Bryant's passing, you know, on Sunday. We'll also talk about the Royal Rumble that happened last week. We'll also talk about, you know, the NBA, especially the local teams, you know, the Knicks. Winning a game. That's news within itself. And the Nets, they're riding high with Kyrie, but now he suffered a big injury. We'll talk about that as well. And, you know, since tomorrow night is, you know, the Super Bowl, and as you guys already know, I already gave my prediction last week. So for some of you, for some people who haven't seen it, you know, or heard it, you know, could, you know, check in last week's episode to see what our thoughts are on who's going to win the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the 49ers. So we'll get into that as well. But again, of course, you know, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, again, feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics or anything you'd like to get off your chest. Feel free to tune in. But, you know, without further ado, you know, we got to, you know, unfortunately talk about news. You know, we never thought in a million years we'd be talking about it in the year 2020, you know. And, of course, you know, we're talking about the shocking, untimely passing of the NBA legend, the Laker legend, Kobe Bryant. And, yeah, you know, there's been some, you know, deaths, you know, in the entertainment, sports world, you know, music, you know, that when, you know, you remember where you are, you know, you are. You know, when you hear the news. And, yeah, I'll tell you, you know, I'll tell you where I'll tell you my story and you'll share yours, Mac, in a few seconds.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I was, me personally, I was hanging out, you know, I had an impromptu hangout with a couple of friends and we ended up in Grand Army Plaza just chatting it up. And, you know, then, you know, I looked on my phone and I noticed you, you know, you were like, oh, shoot. You know, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, what's going on? So then afterward, you know, in my mind, I'm saying this, you know, I didn't say this out loud. And then you, and then I see you sent the, you know, the horrible news. And I'm like, oh, shoot. You know, then I broke the news to them, man. I mean, it was, you know, unreal. Not, it's still unfathomable, man. that a guy, you know, 41 years old, he just retired a few years ago, peak condition, and, just shows you how life, it's a vapor, man. People could just stay here one day and they're gone tomorrow. And, it's pretty sad, man, how it went down. He was just being a great father. He was taking his daughter, Gianna, and her teammate and, her family, and some other people on the plane, because reportedly he doesn't like taking limousines or cars, because of the LA traffic. So he always flies, on planes to avoid the notorious LA traffic. Now, fortunately, the pilot flew, during horrible weather. It was foggy outside, and I don't know, for whatever reason, the pilot not go. And unfortunately, the tragedy happened.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts and prayer go out to, Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and all the other 7 people that were affected. And the other coach, I think his name was Antebelli. Let me see if I could get his name right, so I could give him proper respect. That guy, he was a coach who actually coached Jeff McNeil, the current Met, and even Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
The Yankee slugger. So this guy, like Jeff McNeil said, both baseball and basketball were deeply affected by this tragedy.
Yeah, they were.
Not to mention, just being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my thoughts and prayers, go out to all the family and everybody who's directly affected by this untimely tragedy. What's your thoughts?
Well, when I first heard it, I saw it on Twitter in the morning, and I thought, oh, this is a fake article. Why are people posting this stuff? Because usually you see stuff like that on social media. Sometimes they're not true. They're just made up by people just to get likes and stupid comments. But I decided to do some research and just look on TV to see if there's any news to match that article. And, man, when I saw it on TV, that pretty much confirmed everything. And I was in disbelief that he died. My first thought was, how did he die? How did this happen? Then you find out that he died in a helicopter crash. And, I was stunned, man. I was stunned. I never thought, Kobe, only 40 years old, just retired several years ago, like you said, would pass away so soon. This guy was in the prime of his life, and just getting started to raise his family. He's just settling down, becoming a family man, spending more time with his daughters and his wife. And then all of a sudden this happens, and it's just heartbreaking. I didn't even know the guy, and I, throughout that whole Sunday, I just felt down. It felt like one of my own close relatives had passed away. And I wasn't even a big. I mean, I like Kobe as a player, but I wasn't really a big fan of his. But I respected his game as a player. Yeah, man, it was very tragic, and what it made even worse is then you find out hours later that his daughter was with him, and his daughter was going to be you know, the female second coming of him, you know, in the WNBA and, you know, in the future. You know, because she was following in her dad's footsteps to you know, become a great basketball player. You know, she was watching games with him, you know, studying players. She wanted to, you know, join UConn, you know, when she got older. So, she, you know, she was going to be Mambacita.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, you hear the story that she was with him, and that's, man, that made the story even worse. You know, it's one thing for, like, the parent to die, but then you have the child with the parent. I mean, that's tough. It's a tough loss for Vanessa, his wife, and their kids, you know, to have to go through that. And my condolences go out to them. But yeah, man, it's very, very tragic and heartbreaking.
Yeah, for me. I mean, you know, me being a diehard Knicks fan, you know, I have no love for, you know, the Lakers, but like you said, man, I always had respect for Kobe. I mean, to me, Kobe was the closest thing that any NBA player was to Jordan, you know. To me, right, you know, in like modern history, it would be Jordan, Kobe. And then I would say LeBron, you know, talent-wise, you know, and the, you know, guys who have, you know, who are, like, multi-talented and they have that will. I mean, you could put Tim Duncan in that level, too, but, you know, Tim Duncan, he's more, you know what I mean? He's not, like, an explosive type of guy. I mean, he's a winner, like they are. But, you know, when you think of a guy who could just, like, dominate, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, you. How can I explain it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, those guys, they're very explosive. Or Tim Duncan, he's very, you know, he's like they nickname him the Big Fundamental. You know, he's like a textbook, man. He's like a robot, man. He just, he's very finesse. Where those guys, aforementioned three guys, you know, they just score. They're just pure scorers. They could just score on you in any various ways, dunking, shooting threes.
Yep.
You know, they're all clutch dudes. But, you know, not to get off point, but, Kobe, like, you know, I was never, a huge Kobe fan, but I was, of course, a fan of, his game, the way how he has that Mamba mentality, how he doesn't give up. Even if he has a bad shooting night, he'll just find a way to beat you, you know.
Yep.
A lot of ways, like, Jeter and Tom Brady does, you know, which ironically all those guys have at least 5 championships. You know, they got that will to win no matter what. And they played in huge, you know, in big fan bases, so... Now, that's another comparison, but, you know, hearing the news about Kobe, man, it was very heartbreaking because
it was.
I mean, you would think this guy would, you know, whenever his time was gonna go, you'd think he'd die like, I don't know, in his 80s or 90s at the minimum.
Old age.
Yeah, you would never think in a million years he would die young in a tragic accident, you know. I mean, I guess it's similar to a lot of sports legends in the past. Thurman Munson, Rocky Marciano, Roberto Clemente, you know, also died in a plane crash. You know, those were like iconic dudes who just, I mean, all ironically, you know, died young in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Wait, sure. Now that I think about it, I think Roy Halladay passed away a few years ago in a plane crash as well.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but he was just a few years shy of that. You know, I mean, and Roy Halladay, he was very popular in the baseball world, you know. And, you know, he went into the Baseball Hall of Fame recently, posthumously, and who would have thought in a million years? that Kobe would be going in, and he won't be able to you know, to be there physically to you know, to, you know, to see the fruits of his labor.
Yeah.
I mean, and it, I mean, it's just sad. And then to top it off, like you mentioned, you know, dying with his daughter, Gianna, who, you know, this girl is going to be the next big WNBA star. You know, she was going to be under Gino Auriemma's tutelage at UConn, you know, and be that next star. And then with Kobe as her father, you know, bring extra eyes to that sport. You know, she could have been the LeBron James of the WNBA right now, you know.
Yeah.
If her life wasn't cut short, you know. But unfortunately,
we'll never know now.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what we're gonna say. We'll never know now, but it's just sad, man. How their lives were taken away, and then of course, you know, the Gianna's teammate Alyssa Altobelli, you know, she passed away, you know, such a young age with her mother Carrie, and then of course her father was the aforementioned baseball coach that I mentioned earlier, and assistant coach Christina Mauser died in the aforementioned plane crash. Peyton Chester and Peyton's mother Sarah also passed away, in addition to the pilot Ara Zobayan. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in the family.
Yeah, my condolences.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, have been, you know, expressing their thoughts. You know, Vanessa Bryant, she shared her thoughts on, her husband's passing, her daughter's passing, and, you know, talking about how, you know, she's, you know, how she's grieving. She's, you know, trying to be strong for, you know, her other three surviving daughters, you know. You know, it's crazy, man. It's the so, and then you know, a lot of people been taught, you know, been really affected hard, you know, directly, like Shaq, who, you know, infamously had a rift, which led to, you know Shaq, you know, leaving LA and going to Miami. And of course, you know, Shaq would win the title in Miami in 06. And then, what was I going to say? Kobe would win the title later on with LA. But the most important thing is, you know, after their playing days, they were, you know, they buried the hatchet, and they remained very close until his passing, where, you know, Kobe was providing advice for Shaq's son, you know. So, I mean, I guess that was the only silver lining, I guess, with their relationship, that they were able to, mend the fences,
yeah.
You know, which, I mean, it's an exemplary tale, man, how, you know, the life is short, you know. To, you know, try to bury the hatchet with people that you have issues with, that you care about, because you never know.
Yeah, don't
hold
grudges for a long time.
Yeah. So I'm glad for that aspect. They were at least able to, you know, whatever, you know, forgive each other for, you know, the rift that they had, you know. So at least he had, you know, Shaq has that, to go on. But, you know, like he said it, you know, he feels sick, you know, losing his brother like that, you know,
yeah.
His teammate. And
very sad.
LeBron, you know, he he honored Kobe before the game last night when they were facing Portland. And, it was a somber game at the, at Staples Center because they postponed the game that they had with the Clippers. I think it was the same day when Kobe passed away, if my memory's not mistaken. So they played against Portland. Last night. They're playing right now as we speak against they're leading the Kings 81-64 as we speak.
Yeah, it was a nice tribute last night to Kobe. You know, they had all the players wear shirts with Kobe's 24 and number 8 number. I heard that the Staples passed out T-shirts to people who had tickets. They gave them T-shirts with the number 24. Some got the number 28. And they had two open seats, front row, dedicated to Kobe and his daughter. So it was a special night. It was a great way to pay respect to Kobe and his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. The final score, took a back seat to, paying tribute to, the legend, Kobe Bryant. But, last night everybody was a Lakers fan. Yeah. I mean, even yours truly, which I never thought in a million years I would even utter those words, but... the Lakers, they lost to the Portland Trail Blazers by the final score of 127-119. Anthony Davis, he had a great game. He scored 37 points, had 15 rebounds, 6 assists, nearly had a triple double, and then of course, LeBron James, he almost had a triple-double as well, 22 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds. But, everybody's, heart, was basically, thinking about, honoring Kobe. And, Damian Lillard, he had 48 points, 10 assists, and 9 rebounds, for the win for Portland. But, I mean, it was a touching tribute, at the beginning of the game. Ow. But, I'm at a loss for words, And
lost a great one.
Yeah, we definitely did. And this is... I've never seen the NBA grieve like this, for like a lost player like this, like this. And, the tribute's going to be going on for the entire season. He's going to be honored at this upcoming All-Star game. He's going to be honored, for the Oscars coming up. Of course he's going into the Hall of Fame,
right.
The playoffs, the Lakers are, Lakers are what, the best team in the NBA? I mean, for sure of the West. I mean, it's them and the Bucks who are the best team. So, the Lakers, LeBron, they're gonna try to win one for Kobe. So that's gonna be the storyline, This tragedy is always gonna be in everybody's hearts, for sure. So I mean, again, my thoughts and prayer go out to, Vanessa Bryant, her three daughters, Kobe's parents, and everybody who all the victims and everybody who is directly affected,
Yeah, definitely.
condolences out to all the families that were affected in this tragedy.
I guess we'll shift gears. You know, with the Royal Rumble, WWE. Oh well, I guess before we do that, we should talk about the Knicks and the Nets, since we're talking about NBA still. The Knicks, they were affected as well by the Kobe tragedy. Julius Randle, he played with Kobe for 3 years, and he was deeply affected, literally saying that, he idolized Kobe, and he literally worshiped the ground that Kobe walked. And, he took it rough, as you would imagine.
He certainly doesn't play defense like Kobe.
Well, I mean, very few do, but... what was I gonna say? He had a good game today, but I think he got injured. He got taken out of the game early. But he averaged a double double. I think it was what? I'm trying to remember. Let me see what the points were. It might have been 16. I know he had 16. I think it was 16.18 rebounds or so. But most important thing, the Knicks got the victory against the Pacers.
And that's an impressive win, because the Pacers are playing good basketball right now.
All right, the Pacers are always historically a good team. They always run well, unlike some organizations I know. But that goes without saying. But most important thing, they got the win. And if we all remember, the last time the Knicks was good or had a good season, it was cut short in the playoffs by the aforementioned Pacers. Different roster, of course, but same Pacer, mentality.
Yeah, a very good win, Just trying to figure out when these players are going to be suspended. Have they been suspended for that brawl that took place the other night?
Yeah, Elliot Payton, he sat out of the game. What was I going to say? Marcus Morris, he was fined, because of his, sexist comments. Even though he didn't intend it to be sexist, but I mean, what he said was, clearly sexist. He was criticizing Jay Crowder, basically saying that he was trying to say that the guy was soft, but he was saying that the guy has woman. Yeah, it didn't come out the way he wanted it to come out. He was saying that he has woman tendencies and all this stuff, and that didn't, as you'd expect, it didn't sit well with a lot of people. And he had to clarify, saying that he has a respect for women. He wasn't trying to be sexist, but he apologized. But that's why people gotta be careful what they say. Yeah, that's that, man. And then on the other side of, the city was the Nets. And Kyrie Irving, he was like a protege for Kobe. And he took it hard, once he found out about the loss. Because Sunday night the Knicks and the Nets were playing the game, which many people thought they should have postpone that game as well. But Kyrie, once he heard that Kyrie stopped practicing, he left. He just left with the team. And he came back with the Nets a few days later. And, you know, he's played pretty well. I mean, he scored a career-high 53 points a few days ago. And he just got hurt, I think, today.
Yeah, it looks like he suffered an apparent leg injury in that Wizards game tonight. So he's going to have an MRI to see how serious that is.
Well, hopefully he has a speedy recovery because, he historically is injury prone, you know.
Yeah.
But hopefully he could get well soon, and most importantly, grieve, the passing of his friend Kobe Bryant. But now switching gears to the Royal Rumble. And I don't know if you saw the whole thing, but I kind of fell asleep through it, and I didn't get a chance to rewatch it.
Mm.
But what was your thoughts on the Royal Rumble?
I thought it was okay. It wasn't bad. I liked some of the surprise entrances that we had this year. MVP coming back.
Yeah, I love that.
Edge making his return. Who else? Santina.
Santina, right.
But overall, it was a good Royal Rumble. It wasn't great, no. It was okay. I mean, some of the matches, were predictable. Charlotte Flair winning the female Royal Rumble. Although I wanted someone else to win it, but,
yeah.
It was predictable that she was going to win it.
Of course.
Roman Reigns defeating King Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
The Fiend defeated Daniel Bryan. I saw that. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, me too.
Becky Lynch finally beating Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised that Drew McIntyre won the Royal Rumble. I was surprised by that. I thought it would have been someone like I thought it was going to be Roman Reigns or someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought so too. But I did think it was a possibility. I thought it was those three. It was either Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, or Drew McIntyre. Because, they've been pushing him. And, not to mention he after he got attacked, not this Raw, but the Raw before that, he was saying, he swear to God that he's going to win the Royal Rumble, while he was on the floor cutting the promo. So I was like, okay, he might win it. Or they might be predictable and have Roman Reigns win. So those were the three people I was thinking from Jump Street. Yeah,
well,
and
it came down to McIntyre and Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
They were the final two. So, Roman Reigns had a shot, but, McIntyre won it in the end.
Yeah, and Brock Lesnar himself single-handedly eliminated, half the people in the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
No surprise there. But, yeah, MVP, man. MVP popping up, that was a very pleasant surprise. And then afterwards, of course, he got eliminated. He got eliminated by Brock Lesnar. But before he got eliminated, he got Brock Lesnar to dance to the MVP's theme song. So that's two times in recent history Brock Lesnar's breaking character. Laughing with R-Truth, promo.
Yeah.
Cutting a promo on him and then the MVP.
And MVP, has last match on Monday, which I just found out from you yesterday. He finished that match against Rey Mysterio. He didn't win, unfortunately. He lost.
Yep.
But he ended up getting the first ever 1-6 spine.
6-1-9.
6-1-6-1 spine, But you told me that the reason he decided to have his last match was for his son. Or something like that, right?
Exactly, because his son, he wanted to wrestle. He wanted his son to finally see him wrestle in the ring, you know, especially a WWE ring. And two, his favorite wrestler, his son's favorite wrestler is, wait for it, you think MVP? Nope. Rey Mysterio. You know? So, yo, I mean, lucky for his son, his son isn't Haitian or Caribbean, because, you know, if he's rooting against his father, he's going to get a baton. You know. We all know about that, man. So,
well,
I hope for one day he was rooting for his dad. So,
well, that was good to see that MVP decided to have them have the match against Rey Mysterio, just to have
yeah.
his son, you know, have his favorite wrestle against his dad.
Yeah, and another thing he mentioned in his I think it was his tweet or Instagram post. I can't remember which one it was. But he mentioned that, you know, Rey Mysterio is his close friend. So, you know, that was another reason why he wrestled them. And Rey Mysterio replied publicly and said that if that was his last match, you know, he was honored, you know, to, you know, compete against him.
Yeah, classy.
So, Pharaoh MVP, you know.
Yep.
He had a good career, man. You know, he also won, I think, the TNA title, I think, at one point, briefly.
Right.
But unfortunately, he never got that shot with WWE to get that title win. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, and then of course, you had Edge shocking everybody coming out of retirement, you know. And, you know, reunited with, I'm trying to remember what he called his team, Rated RKO, with Randy Orton. You know, they got some eliminations, and then Randy Orton tried to eliminate him, which was a harbinger to come, you know, the following night of, you know, Randy Orton turning on Edge. But Edge, you know, of course, the ultimate opportunist, you know, he eliminated Randy Orton before Randy Orton got a chance to eliminate him. And the following night, you know, Orton and Edge was in the ring together. And, of course, in vintage Orton fashion, he hits the RKO on him and, you know, assaults him in the ring, and then he was going to break his leg or his neck. I can't remember which. But then he did a calling card of the, you know, of Edge and Christian, you know, the concerto chair shot to the head that he did on Edge. You know, and this should set up a feud, a WrestleMania feud between both men.
Looks like it, yeah. Two former RKO members, Rated RKO.
Yeah, Rated RKO. Right.
Are gonna battle each other. They've battled several times before in the past.
Didn't one of them tore each other off a lake, I think. Oh no! I think it was Cena that might have.
Oh yeah. No, that was different.
It was Cena that probably attitude adjusted him out of into the water probably.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, it's a good thing that WWE, you know, they're being progressive with their storylines. You know, they're you know, pushing newer stars like John Cena and Orton and Rey Mysterio. You know, I mean You think it's a Big Show? I mean, you is it 2005 still? I mean, like, my goodness, man.
Still obsessed with these veteran stars, you know? Keep having them fight each other a zillion times.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like having veterans around. You know, there's value in it. But, you know, I mean, this is a great opportunity when you have veterans like that to let them fight against new people that they haven't fought, you know, ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's the problem with WWE. That's the problem with these pay-per-views and Raws and SmackDowns is they have repeat-itis. It's like we see the same people fight each other a zillion times. And that's why you never have matchups, dream matchups that fans really wanted to see, you know.
Right.
Like Rock versus Shawn Michaels, Undertaker versus Sting, Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle. I mean, there's a bunch off the top of my head. Even Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. That's not going to happen yet either. Like, but they have the same people fight each other over and over and over again. And sometimes even the same night over and over again. Like,
yeah.
Like, whatchamacallit, Andrade Cien Almas. You know, he fought against Carrillo two days in a row. And, of course, Andrade, you know, he won, you know, at the Royal Rumble. And, he lost by disqualification but retained the title, and now he's suspended, I think, for allegedly taking PEDs. So,
yeah.
You know, that it is what it is. Sheamus defeated Shorty G. No surprise there. Roman Reigns beat Corbin. I don't know if you saw the replay of SmackDown.
No, I missed SmackDown last night.
Yeah, I saw some of SmackDown, and that's what led off the show. Roman Reigns was talking to Roman Reigns and Usos was talking to of course Baron Corbin, Ziggler, and you know, Bobby Roode, or Robert Roode as he's now called. And literally the first thing they say is that the Usos are saying like Roman Reigns is, you know, still upset. Because he lost, he takes losing, you know, difficult. And then when Baron Corbin comes out, he's complaining that he lost. So I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't watch the Roman Reigns match and Baron Corbin match because I happened to fall asleep during that happened. I didn't get a chance to watch the replay. Because of this, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Roman Reigns won. So when the Usos and Roman Reigns are, you know, basically Roman Reigns is saying that he's sad when he lost the match, I'm like, I'm pretty sure he won. So I'm like, okay, I guess I was wrong. And then when Corbin comes out with his goons, Corbin is saying that he lost. So I'm like, what is going on here? Like, how did they forget the result of the match that just happened this past Sunday?
Yeah, that's strange.
I've never seen that before.
That's strange.
I've never seen that before. Try to check that out. That's how the SmackDown started this past Friday, yesterday. I mean, I'm stunned. Like, how do people forget the results? how is that even possible? Like, that's like the most important thing of this whole feud.
That's funny.
Who won, who lost? That's like, that's textbook. See, this is what happens when you keep battling the same person a zillion times. Can't even remember who won the match. Come on. False count anywhere match. Well, Roman Reigns won that match. I assume you saw that match. Was there anything spectacular? Or?
Not really. I mean, just a normal Roman Reigns match, pretty much to me. I mean, the best match of the night, I think, was probably
when Daniel Bryan versus Fiend.
No, the Daniel Bryan, right? I mean, that was. I mean, the Bray Wyatt was dominant throughout that whole match.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't one of the best matches.
I fell asleep to that one too. And that was one of the. Oh, I'm sorry. Continue.
So the best match of the night, man. That's a tough one.
Maybe it was the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I guess it was the Royal Rumble itself. Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of any other match that really stood out, you know.
And that's pretty sad for a Royal Rumble, the third most important pay-per-view event of the year. Of a wrestling calendar year,
mm-hmm.
The first pay-per-view event of the, you know, the regular year, and you put out a mediocre pay-per-view event. I mean, that's the problem with WWE nowadays, man. They have good matches. Like, if you watch the matches, you get invested in it. And then they usually have, like, a screwy ending, and it's like, oh, man, this just brings down the whole level of the whole pay-per-view for the match. But, yeah, I mean, that's... Let me see that. Oh, yeah, Charlotte defeated... she tossed out Baszler, you know, to win that opportunity. Charlotte Flair didn't make up her mind yet, but there's rumors that she's not gonna challenge Becky for the 1,000,000 time for the Raw Women's title, which I'm thinking is still gonna happen until I find out otherwise. She's not gonna challenge Bayley for the SmackDown title. Apparently, she's gonna challenge Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's title, and apparently, NXT Women's title isn't even called NXT Women's title anymore, because apparently WWE doesn't want any of the women's title to be called women's title, because for the sake of equality, they just want to call it the title, or, you know, the WWE title, not to be confused with the man Becky Lynch, the man, but, you know, the male gender's title.
Wait, hold on for a second. So she's going to be fighting for the NXT title.
That's the rumor, but it's not confirmed.
Huh, that's interesting.
And there's another rumor is that she's going to team up with Ronda Rousey and a battle, the Kabuki Warriors, for the, you know, which is of course Asuka and Kairi Sane for the tag team titles. So that's the other rumor that's going on. But yeah, it would definitely be interesting if she's challenged. That would definitely put, you know, add some prestige to the NXT title that, you know, an established wrestler with, you know, of course, wrestling lineage as she has, wants to compete for the NXT title. I mean, it just proves that WWE is finally giving NXT its respect and giving it officially the third brand level, the equally third. Because as you can see how they dominated Survivor Series, NXT, that was their coming out priority, you know, showing that they belong and that they're not the minor leagues for, you know, WWE. But, let me see. Is there anything else that happened on Raw or SmackDown? I mean, I didn't really finish watching SmackDown, to be honest with you.
I still haven't seen it, so I don't know what happened last night.
But, trying to think. Oh, yeah, I know they were supposed to fight each other. And, Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin, whoever loses will eat dog food. I mean, I assume Baron Corbin lost and ate the dog food. I didn't see it, but. As predictable as WWE is, I'm pretty sure Baron Corbin lost. But, I mean, it is what it is. Oh, and Mets news. They announced that Ron Darling, John Matlock, Edgar Alfonso are going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, the Mets Hall of Fame.
Right, the Mets Hall of Fame. Let me specify that. The Mets Hall of Fame, not Cooperstown.
Okay.
But the Mets Hall of Fame. So, congratulations to all three men going in. And
congrats.
Al Jackson, who was an original Met, and, he returned to the Mets. He was on the 69 team as well. He's been with the organization for, like, 50 years before his passing recently. He's going to be honored with like a lifetime achievement award. You know, so I think if my memory serves me right, I think they're gonna honor all four men, May 14th, I think it is. I'd have to double check that. But yeah, they might be playing the Pirates that game. Let me see if I could check. You know, the thing quickly. And they also signed Matt Adams, you know, the national veteran. So that might be a clue that maybe he might be Adams might be there for insurance, or you know that might be a signal that they might be trading Dominic Smith in a potential trade. I mean, who knows? I mean,
yeah.
Sterling Marte, he got traded from the Pirates to the D-backs. And, you know, Smith, J.D. Davis were rumored to be part of that trade, you know, but the Mets turned it down, you know. But, yeah, there's a lot of interesting moves that could be trades that could be done. Will Mets or any of the NL East teams do it, like Nolan Arenado, Chris Bryant, or Mookie Betts, who, I mean, he's most likely going to be traded to the Dodgers or Padres at this rate. So MLB could look a lot different in the very near future. But
yeah.
Again,
I mean, it's already been a busy off season, you know, the past several months. So,
mm-hmm.
Right now, yeah, man, baseball season is about to start. I'm excited.
Yeah, I hear you. And, yeah, the aforementioned former Met players are going to be honored before the Pirates game on May the 17th. So, you know, again, congratulations to the guys. But, you know, that's I guess that's basically it. I can't think of anything else. Oh, yes, right. The Super Bowl.
Oh, yes, tomorrow. Big game.
Big game tomorrow. You know, we gave our predictions last week. So, you know, you could, you know, definitely check out, you know, our thoughts in depth. But, yeah, it's going to be a big one, man. You know, the Chiefs, they're going to try to win their second ever Super Bowl championship, the first one in 50 years, you know, when they won Super Bowl IV. And, of course, you got the 49ers, you know, they're going to try to win their six, you know. So, I mean, that's going to be, you know, this is we're definitely going to see a classic tomorrow. We're definitely guaranteed a classic, barring a brutal blowout victory. But
yeah, I don't think it'll be a blowout. It'll be
I don't think so either.
It'll be a close game, I think.
I definitely think it's going to be a close game. And
it's either
going to
be a shootout or a slugfest.
Yeah. Yep. It's definitely going to be one for the ages. You know, I definitely can't wait to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll definitely give you our thoughts about that next week. But last but not least, before we head out, what's your favorite Super Bowl, you know, Super Bowl game moment? And player of all time.
Wow. I mean, man. Well, my favorite Super Bowl, of course, is the Super Bowl where the Giants upset the Patriots when Eli made that catch to David Tyree and he was able to catch it with one hand on his helmet. I mean, you thought right then and there in that play that Eli was going to get sacked. But he managed to get out of that crowd and just throw the ball up and David Tyree just caught it on his helmet and managed to hold on to it as he's being tackled to the ground. I mean, that was one of the greatest games I've ever seen and probably the best play I've ever seen during my lifetime. So that was my favorite Super Bowl. You know, as far as favorite Super Bowl player, I mean, you gotta give it to that Tyree catch. You know, same thing. I'd say that was probably my favorite play, and because of that, Tyree will always be one of my favorite Giants because of that. So I'll give it to that Super Bowl.
So who's your favorite Super Bowl performer?
That David Tyree.
Oh, David Tyree.
Yeah, that David Tyree catch. He also, and early in the game, he also had a touchdown as well. So that was like his biggest game of his career, pretty much.
I'd give that,
he's my favorite Super Bowl player, you know, just because of his performance in that Super Bowl and that catch. He'll always, I mean, he didn't have a great career, unfortunately, but that one catch and his performance in that Super Bowl will always stand out. And, yeah, that will always, you know, be a great memory for me as a Giants fan.
Man, I hear you, man. I'd say that would be my second favorite game, personally. You know, seeing the Patriots get their butt whooped, being undefeated, you know, that was no one could have foreseen that, I guess, other than the Giant players, you know, who believed in themselves, you know. Even after they lost a regular season game where they were close to beating them, but they lost. And then afterwards, that basically started that Giant run that they had, which was capped off by upsetting the Patriots and preventing the Patriots from joining the 72 Dolphins as the undefeated team, the only undefeated teams in NFL history. So the Dolphins stand alone on the road to perfection. But yeah, that was the best one I've seen, in my lifetime. But I mean, if you know me, of course, and you've been listening to the show for the past 11 years, you know the answer is pretty easy, and I'm gonna let you guess what it is.
During your lifetime or just in general?
Overall, no, in general. No, the best one in my lifetime that I've seen was the same Super Bowl you're talking about.
Okay.
My favorite Super Bowl of all time is, drum roll. Okay, yes.
Well, I guess it would be Super Bowl III you're talking about.
That is correct. You are correct.
Even though you weren't allowed to see it.
Exactly. Exactly. But yes, it is the best one. Yes, I am. Yes, I'm biased. But yeah, that is the best one, because at that time, it was an experiment, you know, the Super Bowl, you know, because it was, you know, the NFL versus the AFL leagues battling it out, and the first two Super Bowls were won by, you know, Bart Starr, and the you know, the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, you know, led by the, you know, the legendary Vince Lombardi, you know, as their you know, head coach. So up until this point, the whole, you know, mental process of you know, the AFL was that they were inferior. They didn't belong in the NFL. So if the Jets would have lost that, the Super Bowl would, as we know it, would have been dissolved long time ago. Because that was the whole thought process, was that, you know, the AFL was literally not in their league, literally and figuratively speaking. So they were battling against the Baltimore Colts, which that year was the best team in football. So basically, before, you know, the Jets went on a magical run, you know, they defeated the Raiders in the playoffs, which, you know, always been historically a smash mouth team right there. And basically before the Colts and Jet game, Joe Namath was speaking at talking, and someone interrupted him and said that, you know, the Jets were going to get their butt kicked, like, badly. So Joe Namath, he was PO'd about it, and he said, "Hey, well, you listen there, buddy. We're going to win. I guarantee it, pal." So so basically, you know, he put, you know, bulletin board material for the Colts.
Yeah.
And you know, his manager, Weeb Eubanks, was telling him, "Hey, Joe, why did you do that?" So he was saying that he was passionate, you know, he believed in the team. So what he did was, you know, basically, you know, led the team to the epic guaranteed game where to the only Super Bowl victory in Jets history that happened, what, 51 years ago? So, yeah, that's why it's the best, you know. That's why it's the best to me, because at that time, you know, if the Jets did not win, which obviously made the Jets the first AFL team to win the Super Bowl, and then the following year, the AFL would merge with the NFL, and now that's why we have NFC and AFC. So, fun fact: Jets won the AFL title and the Super Bowl, but they've never won the AFC. You know, since the merger. And hopefully in the near future with Darnold, they will break all those droughts. But we'll see what happens.
Well, so name it for your favorite Super Bowl player.
You got it.
Okay.
But, Tom Brady, man, that's the X factor right there. Is he going to – because he recently took a photo, and now people don't know if he's coming or leaving or staying with the Patriots. But if I was a betting man, I'd say he's gonna resign with the Patriots and end his career there, because that's the wisest decision to do. I mean, he has Bill Belichick. No matter how strained the relationship may or may not be, that's the best position for him.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady will come back and play.
Yeah, hands down.
I don't see him retiring yet. See him at least playing for maybe a few more years. But you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, he could players could, you know, have a he'll have a lot of time right now to think during this offseason to decide whether he comes back or not. So I wouldn't be shocked if he decided to retire. I mean, he's had a great career and he's, you know, 4 years old, so it wouldn't shock me, especially after he's seen his adversary Eli Manning retire.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention the way how he lost, man, in that first round.
Yeah.
Against the Titans, man, it was crazy. But
yep.
You know, it happens. But yeah, I think he has at least 3 or 5 more years in him.
I wouldn't say 5, but you know, maybe
3. Three,
a couple, 2 or 3, maybe. That I'm not even sure, because it's, you know, is
5 is pushing it, but
know,
3,
this year,
I think he has 3.
He didn't, the last few years he hasn't looked like the Tom Brady that we've seen. Yeah, he's getting up there, and his throwing motion is starting to decrease a bit. So, who knows how long he plays? I mean, we'll see. I mean, we'll see if Patriots want to keep starting him at a quarterback, because I know they've been trying to go younger for a long time, but they've been winning titles, so we'll see what happens.
Plus, they traded with Garoppolo, so
yeah,
you know, and now he has a chance of winning a title of his own. You're gonna have the battle between the young guys. You're gonna have, Patrick Mahomes, son of former Met Pat Mahomes, trying to win his first title. And of course, the first title for the Chiefs in 50 years, and then of course you got Garoppolo trying to win his first champion, you know, as a starter. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup, but we'll find out later today.
Yep.
You have any last thoughts you'd like to say?
Just thank you for having me on the show, and you guys enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow. Hopefully it's a great game.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, man. All right, so you heard Mac. You know, check out Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11. I think we might have a special Friday night one this week instead. But you know, we'll keep you posted, of course, and you know, we'll review the Super Bowl, give you our thoughts on that, and whatever else is going on in the world of sports. Also, check out my YouTube channel, Sports and Legend TV. And, you know, again, our thoughts and prayer go out to, you know, the Bryant family, the Antebelli, if I pronounce the name correctly, and all the victims, the family of the victims. Again, you know, our heart goes out to them. And, again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this week's episode of Sports and Religion. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Rumble, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.
Mumbo out. We'll be right back.